And joining us now for our alumni spotlight is Kennard Lang, former Browns defensive end. Kennard, how you doing?
Fine, and yourself?
Doing really well. You're a high school football coach now. We'll get into that in a little bit down in Orlando, Florida, where you're on the line from. Tell us, first of all, your Browns career, 2002 to 2005, the second stop in your career. You were with the Redskins before that from 97 to 01. But the time that you spent with the Browns, what comes to you as a thought, as a memory of a favorite, either if it wasn't a play or a moment or any single thing, or just in general, what you remember about it?
If anything about the Cleveland Browns, I wish I would have started and ended my career there. I'll probably say out of all professional teams I've been, the Cleveland Browns organization, the city, the fans are probably the best that I've ever seen. I guess the only regret I do have ever playing football is not retiring the Cleveland Browns. But other than that, I mean, shoot, I have great memories. First year, we made the playoffs, and the town treated us great. And I'll probably say the next memory I have that is real memorable, I'll probably say one of the best games I had as a Cleveland Brown, when the year before Jamal Lewis ran all over us. And that very first game of that year, and Jeff Garcia came in that year, and it's like, we all told each other, hey, Jamal Lewis is not going to get over 100 yards on us. And that game, I can honestly say, we played one heck of a football game. I just wish we would have played like that consistently from the whole year. But I probably say that those two are probably my most memorable moments as a Cleveland Brown. But you know what, though? Honestly, to add one more to that,
yeah.
I remember we was in San Francisco, and we beat the 49ers, I think, like 15 to 13, some close score.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, I remember San Fran was going for their last drive, try to get a score, and our fans were louder than San Francisco fans. I remember on third down, we lifting our hands up, come on the crowd to get loud. The crowd got louder than San Francisco fans. That's the first thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Wow.
I've never seen that before. And that's what I mean by the Cleveland Browns. I mean, their fans are great and wonderful, and I love them to death.
Yeah, they travel well, and they support this football team in a big, big way. Of course, you ended your career with the Denver Broncos in 2006, so you played one more season in the league after your final year in Cleveland in 05. But to back to your point about the fans and you having maybe the most recent, definitely the most recent experience where you deliver a playoff team and what it means to this town. And people are so hungry for it, obviously, now, Kennard. There's a lot of excitement over the draft that this Browns team just had and the thought that, you know, what this might lead to. And it's just what you're talking about. It's the reaction and the support, because people have hung with this team through a lot of tough, tough times, and they just want that taste again of success.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And the thing I loved about Cleveland the most, they're a town that appreciate hard work. They want you to come out there, bust your butt, work hard, give your best, how the chips fall, how they fall. They don't want no prima donna. They don't want nobody around there pound on their chest and say who y'all and what jury I'm about. They want somebody to be hard-nosed, respect the game, and play it hard. And that's what I really loved about that town.
Yeah, absolutely. And defense kind of personified that, right? Because you played on the side of the ball that goes with that hard work mentality. I know in offense you can have a power running game and so forth, but really for you and for the time that you played for this team, it was defined by the defense and by you as a pass rusher, as someone who's trying to wreak havoc, and you were doing that as a defensive end for the better part of your career.
Yes, I mean, it was real enjoyable. I mean, probably just, nobody can say anything. Anybody ever asked me about where did I enjoy playing the most, I say Cleveland. By far. I just, you know, I hate to say or be repetitive, but shoot, I wish I'd ended my career there. And most importantly, I wish I would have started there, because that's the kind of town that you can live and raise your family, and it's wonderful.
We're visiting with Kennard Lang in our alumni spotlight segment, former defensive end for the Browns. So you began your career with the Redskins. Now,
yes.
Take me back to when you joined that team from the University of Miami, and how things evolved for you from 97 to 01, how you, as a player, how your game came together, and then what was the sort of the finished product, if you will, in 01 that you ended up taking to Cleveland in 02?
I'll probably say coming from University of Miami, a lot of our defensive mindset was a lot with speed and with hands. And when I got to the Redskins, that was the NFC East, and at that time it was a straight rock 'em sock 'em conference. We had Philadelphia, had Dallas, and there's a lot of smash mouth football. So I had to get kind of adjusted to that, where Miami always played on the outside end, where I went to Washington, I had to play inside over the tackle. So that was a little bit of an adjustment. But I'd probably say one of the best things that ever did happen to me, though, when I did go to Washington, I met Daryl Green. Mm. And Daryl Green became a very, very close friend. He's a very good dear friend of mine, and he helped me be professional. And I say most important now to be professional, let you know that you're just another person, that football should not dictate your personality. You know, football is a part of your life, right, not your life. And being with Daryl Green, him say different philosophies and talk to me and preach to me, you know, a very God-fearing man. He helped me rededicate myself back to Christ. I'd probably say going to Washington and meeting him was probably the best thing that did happen when I was there. And, then next minute, we made the playoffs one year. Then the following year, Snyder came in, became the owner of the team. Then a lot of the guys who were playing the year before, they got cut or released, and they brought in Jeff George, Bruce Smith, Deion Sanders. You know, it was great that the guys came in, but that kind of messed up the chemistry that we had from the year before.
Right.
Because Brad Johnson made the Pro Bowl, but then you bring in the backup the next year who makes more money than the starter. You know, that kind of don't sit right. Then sure. We brought in Dan Wilkerson, who played good for us, Dana Stubblefield. So, you know, that was, you know, a lot of times bringing in those additions don't help the team. It kind of somewhat hurt because you got the chemistry from the year before. You got the guys who know what to do, and they still got great ball players. You know, it kind of messed it up a little bit. But then from there, I had to play defensive tackle my last year, which was kind of interesting.
But, yeah, because that wasn't – when they drafted you in 97 as a first-round pick, 17th overall, I mean, you came out of college, as you say, as an outside guy, as an edge guy, right? So you're coming into the NFL, and now they're going to try to change you over to something else. And what was the thinking behind that, and how did it – I mean, how was it working out? Obviously not great.
Actually, to be honest with you, it worked out real well. The reason why I say, because we had our head coach at the time was Marty Schottenheimer, who I very much do respect.
Right.
He's a great coach in aspect. He treated everybody the same. Everybody work hard and bust your butt. And playing defensive tackle that year really taught me how to use my hands, because twice a year I was going against Larry Allen. And against Larry Allen, if you don't use your hands, you're going to be back there selling popcorn and selling soda. You're going to knock your back so far. So playing defensive tackle really did help me learn how to use my hands, and that really helped me as far as progressing my career when I got to Cleveland and there on out, as far as how important technique was. And from that point when I went to Cleveland, it was just wonderful. Had made good friends, had great coaches. God bless them. Had Fozio, our defensive coordinator. Had Ray Hamilton, and probably one of the best D-line coach I had was Andre Patterson, who came in with Dave Campo, and when I had my former coach there, Butch Davis. So a lot of things, you know, kind of fell in place where we did well. Then Butch left, which was, you know, a lot of people had mixed emotions about that. But when he left, that kind of changed things. The next minute, they moved me to outside linebacker. So I haven't played there since high school, but, you know, hey, I know how the game go. So I went there and played it. And tried my best. I see how things weren't working for me, and you know, I'm not gonna throw nobody under the bus, but a lot of time I'm put in the best situation to succeed. So in that aspect, but you know, from there, you know, Lord worked in mysterious ways. So from there, I went to Denver.
Yep.
I ended my career playing defensive end, and I ended playing having a pretty good year that year. And I'm healthy. I can walk. I can play with my kids. I can enjoy my family. And that's all I can say about that.
No, that's a beautiful thing. And yeah, the point about 05, though, when Romeo Crennel was the head coach and had the 3-4 scheme here, taking that would take you as a defensive end and put you out at outside linebacker, obviously not a comfort spot for you. It was a tough adjustment.
Yeah, it was, but it wasn't nothing against Romeo. I mean, cause Romeo did all that he could from the aspect of the coach, because a lot of it he didn't have no control over. I mean, we're going to be honest.
Yeah.
He had control over personnel, where people he thinks should be playing and came from somebody over him. And we saw when he got fired that, you know, it really wasn't him. And now he's the head coach at the Kansas City Chiefs. And he last year, the only coach that I've seen shut down Aaron Rodgers and Tim Tebow in consecutive weeks.
Yes, yes.
So that tells me it really wasn't Romeo the problem when he was at Cleveland.
Okay.
you know what I mean?
I hear you. Now you're a head coach now at the high school level at Jones High School in Orlando. You've been there as a head coach since 2008, and very interesting. And I know before that you were an assistant coach at Edgewater High in Orlando, coaching tight ends, which is interesting enough as a former lineman. You're going to a defensive lineman. You're going to explain how you ended up as a tight ends guy. But tell me this: you took that Jones High School team that was 1-9 in 2007, and you made them a playoff team in your first year.
Yeah, it was great. I had to change the mindset. They was around there. They were only taught just to win two games, and going to the playoffs wasn't a goal. And they changed their whole mindset and the philosophy they bought into what I brought in. And when they made the playoffs that year, that was the first time I think they made it in 12 years. We made it consecutive years here on out. And I probably say most importantly too, every year I have kids get a football scholarship to go to college. So this past year I had one guy go to Iowa State. I got a couple more get a chance to go to junior college. The year before that I had around 11 kids signed. The year before that I had around 3 or 4. And the year before that I had around like another 2 or 3. So the good thing about it is the kids are going to college, and most importantly, coming out being respectful young men, they'd be a good product to society.
Where did the whole coaching thing come to mind with you? When in the course of your football life or whatever that you said, hey, when I'm done playing, I want to be a coach?
You know what? It's ironic that every team I was on, I was kind of somewhat the unofficial assistant coach, where I would always take the young guys. Like, it started when I was in Cleveland, where we get some, like, Coach Patterson or Coach Hamilton been working with the other guys. We got some new guys come in. Hey, Kennard, hey, go work with them. Teach them how we try to do it. And I always taught them, and they listened to me, and it worked well. And same thing happened in Denver, too. And that felt nice. So I said, you know what? Shoot, I know if a professional coach put their hands in me and teaching rookies how to do things,
right,
I know I can also do the high school kids.
So you're enjoying every bit of that.
Oh, yes, sir, big time.
And you're also doing some great stuff away from coaching, away from football. The Kennard Lang Foundation, focusing on cancer research and on youth and education, which obviously you talk about in a big way, but really involved in some good stuff there, Kennard.
Oh, yes, sir. I've been doing that. I think I started that in Cleveland, and when I was doing it, and in the community service department, Ms. Renee and them, they helped me out a lot. We had, like, back to shopping with the underprivileged kids at Dick's Sporting Goods up there. We went to the Rainbow Babies and took them toys and like a lunch and those variety of things. So Cleveland really helped me out with that, getting that started. And from there, I just carried it on and helped people dealing with cancer, families, fly them out to see their family, help pay some bills and other variety of things.
That is awesome. Yeah, you're talking about Renee Harvey. She does a tremendous job for
yes,
us
sir.
And this organization. Well, great stuff, Kennard, from you. Great to get caught up with you. And we wish you all the best in all your endeavors. And we look forward to seeing you down the line.
All right, thanks, sir. I appreciate it.
He is Kennard Lang, former Browns defensive end, our alumni spotlight segment here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.